Law and Gospel on this Thursday, October the 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And it's a Ruminations Day, so we're going to have a guest with us. But first of all, I want to remind you of the Concert for Life featuring Dr. Mark Laverty. It's going to be at Zion Lutheran Church this Sunday. He was my guest yesterday. That's on Dorset Road. You go to Highway 270, turn right on Dorset, go about a half a mile, and there it is on the left. And the time is 4 p.m. The time is 4 p.m. It's free to get in. They will have a free will offering, of course, for benefiting life-affirming ministries of Zion Lutherans for Life, Churches for Life, and others, and a reception will also follow. So, 4 o'clock on Sunday, we hope that you will be there. Right now, though, it's Ruminations Thursday, which means we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Dr. Baker, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, yes. We both saw it. It's entitled Vatican Document Challenges Church to Change Attitude to Gays. And boy, oh boy, it's another example of worldwide media just really misinterpreting what is going on in the Roman Catholic Church. They give the impression that this change in attitude toward gays is that they're actually going to no longer condemn homosexual acts or gay marriage, and this isn't the case at all. But what did you find?
I saw the same thing. When I first sent you the article, I thought, uh-oh, what's going on? You know, because I read through the first couple of paragraphs, but as I went on to read it, I go, whoa, wait a minute, they haven't made any decisions yet. One of the decisions they'll make will be later, but Saturday, and then they, latest I heard is the final document will be out sometime next year.
Yes, and among all kinds of conventions, even in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention, we've had conventions where people, you know, stand up at the microphone and they say things that are absolutely contrary to the scripture, like going for women ordination or things like that. And the final fact is the convention never adopts such things like that. And we need to understand that it's not a Vatican document. It's a document from some liberal bishops, and in a sense, they're trying to use the Pope in what he has to say. In fact, I found, this is a liberal blog, and they say this is one of the most quotable quotes from the Pope in memory, and here's the two of them, and then we're going to talk about it. I'll give you the first one. If someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? Now, the way the article interprets that, the Pope is saying, okay, gay behavior is not something I can judge as wrong. But he's not saying that at all, is he?
No, he's not. In fact, there was another person, what was it, Duck Dynasty, that Robinson, he said somewhat of a similar thing.
In fact, you know what my theme is for this? You're going to laugh when you hear this.
No.
Finally, the Pope is becoming Lutheran.
Oh, okay.
You know, the fact of the matter is, the gay members that I had in my congregation not only were searching for the Lord, they loved the Lord. And when it says they have goodwill, that means they have a desire not to have homosexual acts. That's what it means by goodwill. And then, who am I to judge? Which means, just because you have an inclination towards sin, that is sin, by the way, because Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, even thoughts can be sinful. We still can't say, okay, I'm going to judge that you're going to hell because you have these bad thoughts. That's a Lutheran position.
Right, and I think the other description you've used before is that some people have the propensity to create fires. They're an arsonist, and we know that that's the wrong thing. And does that mean then we're going to let arsonists go on creating fires?
Yes. The second quote I want to talk about, this is the Pope. A person once asked me in a provocative manner if I approved of homosexuality. I replied with another question. Tell me, when God looks at a gay person, does he endorse the existence of this person with love or reject and condemn this person? Now, that is a Lutheran position, because we don't reject and condemn a person. What we will reject and condemn is their sinful attitude, their sinful behavior. But the idea that when God looks at a person, does he always look at them with love? Well, what's that famous verse? For God so loved the
world.
Yes. So we would agree with the Pope here that we don't want to reject and condemn the person. I don't know how many gays that you've had come to talk to you or come to your congregation. I've been involved with some of them. And when they are repentant, they're forgiven. Now, they still have these inclinations, which are sinful. Now, that's one area in the Roman Catholic theology. I got the impression that they didn't think that homosexual inclination was sinful. I think that anything that is contrary to the will of God, inclination or not, is still a sin, whether or not you act on it.
Right. You know, and it's interesting that at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about those who practice homosexuality. And that's with a whole list of sins that are there. But if you catch it a little bit later, Paul says, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's where you're getting to the point. Our sins are forgiven, and we're given a new life and a new walk in Christ.
Yeah, and doesn't he also say, Paul does, and at one time some of you were like this?
Yes, yes.
See, the point I want to make here, therefore, is he's making the distinction between those of you who are sinners in this area and no longer practice it. Now, what does it mean to practice a sin? It means to be unrepentant, that you love the sin. And Christians, we do sins all the time, but we don't practice them in that Greek word because we're repentant of them. So just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you stop from sinning. But in repentance, God then recognizes that you are contrite over your sin and asks for forgiveness. And that's the kind of attitude that we ought to have even towards homosexuals, in the same way that we have towards members of the congregation who gossip.
I think you bring up a great point there, because that's something we do just about every Sunday at the beginning of our service, is that we repent of our sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner. Things I do or the things I leave undone, you know.
I want to read a couple of phrases that definitely show how they're moving toward Lutheranism, which I think they're going to be surprised that we say this. But, for example, it says, Pope Francis has a vision of a church that is more merciful than moralistic. Now, this is exactly what the Reformation was about. We're not saved by faith plus works. That's moralism. We're saved by faith alone, that is trust in the promises of God, and that's because we know we have a merciful Savior.
Yeah, isn't it ironic? We're talking about it during the month of Reformation. Where at the end of the month we'll be celebrating the Reformation and the three solas, and among those three solas, their sola is alone, faith alone.
Yep. Another one, he says, Francis' aim is to make the church a field hospital for wounded souls that focuses far less on the rules and regulations emphasized by his two predecessors. Now, I'm not quite sure that his two predecessors, you know, were not also trying to be merciful and such. But I like this idea, because that's what we often call a Lutheran church. It's a hospital for sick souls, and they refer to them as wounded. And they're wounded by the temptations of Satan. And through the coming to the hospital, the church, hearing the word, receiving the sacrament, they can overcome these temptations. And even if they fall into them, they can be repentant and forgiven.
And there comes in that second sola, you know, alone, grace alone. It's only by the grace of God we go, and that's the forgiveness. And you said it earlier, John 3:16, you know, that we are saved by Christ, God giving his only son for us.
You know, if a member came up to me and said, you're not going to allow a homosexual to join our congregation, I would look at them and say, well, we allowed you to.
I don't know if I would try that one.
Well, but that's the point.
No, you're right. I agree.
Now, of course, when they say homosexual, they just feel that some people do. That once you have that kind of inclination, then you are almost subhuman and such, and you will never be allowed into the kingdom of heaven. But as you pointed out, some of the Christians did have that kind of lifestyle, but they left it through repentance, received the forgiveness of sins, and therefore they will be in heaven just like you and I.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. You know, and that's where the English sometimes trips us up, because it says practice homosexuality, and as you pointed out, it's repentance. We repent of our sins and we go back to the cross of Christ. You know, what's interesting is also coming up this weekend is our epistle lesson is 1 Thessalonians 1:1-10. And in there, Paul talks about us being imitators of us, which was Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, and of the Lord, you know. And he makes quite a bit of that in his epistles about being imitators of the Lord, that we follow when we follow Christ. Christ would not be a part of some of these actions.
That's quite correct. So there's no doubt there was a recent survey within the last 3 months. There was an acceptance of homosexuality and gay marriage, but in the last 3 months, that changed by 5% that now no longer accept homosexuality and gay marriage. I don't know what the actual percent is, but it's pretty close to a majority, I remember. And the fact of the matter is that I think this is going to, homosexuality, the same thing is going to happen to that happened to abortion, where most people, when Roe v. Wade was adopted by the horrible Supreme Court, people didn't see a problem. But now with sonograms seeing that there is really a human being in the womb, there's now a majority who do not agree that abortion can be done for any reason. And I think the same thing is going to happen, because the radical homosexuals just are very clearly doing the work of the devil in their protesting, in the way that they behave in front of children even. So that I think that time is on our side, and there's going to be a pendulum shift back towards recognizing that the problem in the United States is the people aren't allowing to have their vote, because the courts are making decisions saying that it's unconstitutional not to have gay marriage and this kind of nonsense.
I would agree with you. I think that's become a severe problem. I mean, as I hear you talking, I just can't keep... There's that whole opposite end of that. What does it mean to carry that to be an imitator of God or an imitator of Christ and to follow him? It is the radical nature, is so to speak, to an unbelieving world of the Christian, that we don't follow homosexuality, we don't follow sexual immorality or drunkenness or greed or any of these other things. We repent of those sins and move back to the gospel.
Well, after we first heard this, the Vatican document challenges church to change attitude to gays. That's a horrible thing, because it sounds like the Pope and the whole Vatican is doing this. One of the things in this Vatican document that was definitely written by liberal bishops, it says homosexuals had gifts and qualities to offer and asked if Catholicism could accept gays and recognize positive aspects of same-sex couples. And then, and I told you this was going to happen because we were talking about it, the day after, the majority of bishops distanced themselves from the document's unprecedented opening toward gays, calling it an unacceptable deviation from church teaching that doesn't reflect their views, and vowing to make changes to the final version. So this document, written by a few, a minority of liberal bishops, you know, I don't have a problem that repentant homosexuals can have gifts and qualities to offer. But then I don't know any positive aspects of same-sex couples. Do you?
No, I don't. And, you know, on that repentant homosexuals, I know of some over the years in churches that I've seen out there across our Senate that live that way. And they serve as officers, volunteers. They're very active, but they just don't engage in a homosexual lifestyle.
If you would like to call and ask a question on this, our number's in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And the reason we're bringing this on Ruminations with two pastors talking about this is that this is a kind of a new thing that more and more courts are allowing for that horrendous gay marriage. And the church still is struggling as to how to inform pastors how to deal with this, because unfortunately, a lot of pastors are afraid to bring up immorality such as an abortion, homosexuality, because they know that members of their congregation may have relatives, friends, or even sons or daughters who have gone through this, and they don't want to lose money. And we need to be strong. Jesus, I'll tell you, this is how I think the Roman Catholic Pope is recognizing this. I think he has the same attitude towards homosexuals that Jesus had toward that woman caught in adultery. Remember? He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone, nobody, and everybody was gone. And then he brought her. And then what did he say to her? Go.
Well, yeah. And sin no more.
Yes, go and sin no more. Now, that certainly was not a moralistic tone that Jesus had. He was very merciful to her. And we pray that, as in many of his other meetings with individuals, like the Samaritan woman at the well, I'm sure she stopped living with a man with whom she was not married anymore.
You know, also you look at the 10 lepers and one returns, you know, that with Thanksgiving coming up, that's the gospel lesson. And what's interesting is the Samaritan falls flat on his face, you know, in an act of worship. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, you got 40 ways of living, or, you know, go out and do this, do that. He tells him, arise and go, for your faith has made you well.
Yes. Another item that's involved here was in this closed-door gathering of the bishops, some wanted the church to tone down its condemnatory language when referring to gay couples and avoid phrases such as intrinsically disordered when speaking of homosexuals. Now, that has to be corrected, because we do condemn, I mean, God condemns gay couples. And the idea of being intrinsically disordered, that simply means that you have original sin. We're born intrinsically disordered, not just homosexuals, but every one of us.
Which brings you back to, he didn't create two Adams and two Eves. He created an Adam and an Eve. But also, when does the image of God get lost in the person? Was into sin, was it not?
Yes. And what was that image was, of course, God breathed into them the Holy Spirit, and they lost that Holy Spirit. In fact, they died at that very moment trying to hide from God, and it was a spiritual death. And had he not removed them from the Garden of Eden, they would have eaten from the tree of life and never died, and of course, just continued to exist in an intrinsically sinful condition.
Which brings us back full circle. You know, how do we get that image back? It starts to restore itself when we come to faith in Christ and that Holy Spirit comes into our heart.
And that's well said, because the emphasis isn't how we get it back, but how God gives it back to us, such yeah. as with the lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, carries it home. So I think if there can be made a distinction between the previous popes and this one, and I'm putting the best construction on this with this pope, is that they may have been very clear in their morality, etc. This pope wants to show a merciful side of the church, which I think is what the whole Reformation was about. Because the Reformation was about that at that time, the Roman Catholic Church was really burdening people with the idea that they really had to be good. In fact, even today, I do not meet a Roman Catholic who will say, yes, if I die today, I'll go to heaven. That they all think that, first of all, they got to go to purgatory. And from my point of view, that is not a merciful message.
I would agree with you. That, you know, that still remains a problem. I've seen that happen many times yet.
Okay, we'll take a call right now at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And let's go and speak with Sue. Sue, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you gentlemen this morning?
Fine.
Pretty good.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I have yet to hear the Catholic Church speak out and say this is God's word. The media makes it out to be that marriage is between a man and a woman as some kind of Catholic document. And I think it's the church's responsibility, the Catholic Church, since they're the ones that the media pays attention to, responsibility to say this comes from God's word. Have you heard anyone ever say that?
Yes. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about that on a television show that I was just really disappointed. It's one of my favorites, but the homosexual issue came up. And the actor who was doing the bishop there, when he was confronted by this person who thought that homosexuality was okay, he definitely referred to the teaching of the church, the teaching of Jesus Christ in the Word, and that will never change. And so if you talk to a most Roman Catholic priests on this issue, and they're against this, they will point to the Word of God. But by the way, you are correct. It doesn't appear in any of the articles I was reading.
Okay. All right. Very good. And are you referring to Blue Bloods? Because that's the show that I saw Friday that I was really upset with, because me personally, I thought they made it look like the bishop they had in that show, they couldn't have made him look more evil, for one thing. And second of all, I didn't hear him say that, but I'm hoping I missed that and that he did say that, because a lot of people watch that show. And
I know. And I'll let you know tomorrow, so please tune in.
Oh, I will. And thank you for your show and what you do, God's work. It's wonderful. Thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Okay, thank you so very much. And she was probably talking to me, not you, Wes.
And I was going to say that's very Lutheran of Sue, you know.
Yes.
She takes it right to the word.
No, this is really critical. Like I often would do, I would, somebody wants to get married, my member, and maybe a member of another denomination, I would send them to the adult instruction of the other denomination and then meet with them the night after that. And it was clear that Lutheran theology held sway, because we always stayed with the Word of God, and these other denominations were adding or subtracting from the clear Word of God. And it became pretty obvious to the people taking the class that, boy, Lutheranism is Word-oriented. We have the least amount of information to tell anybody in an adult instruction. I mean, you can summarize it by the small catechism.
Well, and I think you've said this many times. When one dies and you go to heaven, who are you going to give the credit for your salvation?
Yeah, that's correct. And every Christian says none other than Jesus Christ himself. So I'm really going to be looking forward to the document when it comes out Saturday, if they can complete it, because I think it's going to be a document that will probably allow for a more compassionate attitude towards those who are caught in sin, but also encourage them to repent of it. And as the Pope himself says in this one quote, that we need to consider the person, and if the person is gay and he searches for the Lord and has good will, who am I to judge? And that's a Lutheran position.
Right, and we're already talking about it as a Missouri Synod, because isn't one of the things that we talk about is mercy?
Oh, that's right. We've got the three of them, Witness, Mercy, Life Together. And our own President Harrison has written some wonderful articles, and we might be able to bring them up in the near future. But we're at the end of the program, so thanks so much again for being with us, Wes, and God willing, we hope to have you back next week. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow on Law and Gospel, Sue is kind of giving it away a bit. We're going to be talking about a television program, and I disagree with her a little bit about that program, and I'll explain that tomorrow. But it gives me an opportunity to prepare a little bit more for it. And it's also going to be Open Mic Friday, which will give anybody an opportunity to ask any question of a theological nature. I'm Tom Baker. Then till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.